Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
There were members of the church at Corinth to whom Paul writes the 1 Corinthian epistle, who were denying, or at least questioning, the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of believers. They were saying that there is no future bodily resurrection from the dead for the saints of God. Members of the church, mind you. We're not talking about false teachers outside the church. We're talking about Christian believers who are members of the church. And we know that because Paul said in verse 12, "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" How do some of you who are hearing this letter read in your church meeting, in your worship service where these letters would be read, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? Some members of the church were denying the doctrine of the bodily resurrection. And that's why Paul takes a lot of time in 58 verses, one of the longest chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians, in order to refute that error. This is a serious error, all the more serious because it is being propounded by members of the church, not by false teachers who are outside the church. You expect false teachers to have false doctrine, but members of the church are not supposed to have false doctrine. They must be corrected, or this is going to spread like a canker. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is going to become a problem from within. The church is always in danger of being destroyed from without, if it could be. There will always be attacks upon it and efforts to destroy it. But the attacks from the outside are not as deadly as corrosion from within. Denials of truth from within. Compromise from within. That's what brings the church into real danger. So it's no wonder that Paul addresses this so seriously. And so that's what we're dealing with in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're glad that you have joined us on this Friday, June 17, and we're thankful for those of you whose financial gifts make it possible for us to teach on this station. Paul opens the chapter by declaring the basic facts of the gospel, Christ's vicarious death and victorious resurrection, with a strong emphasis upon the resurrection. He follows that up by a section talking about the terrible consequences that would be true if there is no bodily resurrection. And it basically boils down to there is no eternal life, there is no forgiveness of sins, there is no salvation, there is no gospel, there are no reliable scriptures. Everything is gone. Everything that's worthwhile is gone if, in fact, there is no bodily resurrection. And following that, he comes back with a section on why believers not only will rise, but why they must rise, why the bodily resurrection of Christians is a necessity. And he tells us about the truth of Christ's resurrection, affirmed strongly. Now, is Christ risen from the dead? Verse 20. He then gives an informative explanation of that in verses 21 and 23, where he tells us how it was that death came into the world and who it is that overcame death, who conquers death, who replaces death with life. And the one who brought death into the world is Adam, and the one who brings life to his people is Jesus Christ, which then brings us to the triumphant consummation that will take place when Jesus returns to raise his people, the saints of God, from the dead. And he tells us that when that takes place, we will come to the end of the present world order. Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Who does that? Christ. Verse 25. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And what is the final enemy that is conquered? Verse 26. The last enemy that will be conquered is death. Very good. And who? What is the authority that oversees the restoration of all things back to their original order? Well, it is God the Father who's working in hand with God the Son. For he has put, that's God the Father, has put all things under his, that's God the Son's feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. God the Father has put everything under the immediate rule of Jesus Christ, everything in all the universe except himself. The Father is not subject to the Son, but everything else is subject to the Son. He is the supreme ruler right now. He is the authority that is overseeing the conquering of every enemy against God until all are subdued and are under his feet, never to rise again, including death itself. And the culmination of that process, we are told in verse 28, is this. Now, when all things are made subject to him, to the Son, then the Son himself will also be subject to him, the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. When this final subjugation has taken place, when Christ, in his present victorious rule, is eliminating one by one all of the enemies of God until he has fully conquered every one and they are all under his feet, for God the Father has given him the authority to do that. And when that takes place, then the Son is going to subject himself to the Father. He's going to surrender his, and we can call this his mediatorial kingship to the Father. Now, Christ cannot divest himself of the sovereignty of the eternal Son. God the Son is as much sovereign over the universe as God the Father, and as is God the Holy Spirit. In the triune Godhead, mysterious as it is, every member of the Godhead is equal in power and glory. We believe that. The Scripture teaches that. But there's something going on here that has to do with the work of redemption. And in order to redeem the fallen world, the fallen universe, back to the uncontested rule of God, God the Son has been given that work. And he, of course, to begin that work, he became a man. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died a vicarious death. He rose victorious from the grave. But that was just, as we might say, laying the groundwork. That was providing the principle by which everything else can be conquered. But now that conquering work has been going on for 2,000 years. And we don't know how much longer it will continue on, but when it is complete, Christ is going to surrender his mediatorial kingship to the Father. The special rule that was mediated to him by the Father for a particular accomplishment, a particular assignment that is going to be fulfilled one day. And when it is, God the Son is going to deliver the kingdom up to God the Father and subject himself to God. That's what we are told. Where is that again? Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And when that takes place, time is over and eternity begins, and God will be all in all. And I take that reference not to be just God the Father, but actually the triune Godhead. That God, the triune God, may be all in all. We enter into a different era. Except era is not even the right term, because era speaks of an age. But this is coming to the end of the present age, but it's going to usher in a timeless age, a timeless existence, a timeless reality that there'll be no ages, be no passing of time. Then we've moved into eternity. Well, what do we take from this section, this third section of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? I've already pointed out that there are some challenges for the doctrine of eschatology in this passage. For those who have a particular eschatology that doesn't fit quite into the wording of this passage, they have to insert many additional things. It requires many insertions and explanations which are not in the passage. And of course, they will import these from other places in Scripture and think they are doing so legitimately. Perhaps, perhaps not. I leave that for you to decide. But that certainly doesn't fit into the wording of this passage. But what we really need to learn from this passage is great encouragement, namely that Christ is victorious. Christ shall have dominion, and when he will conquer all, and then there will be perfection for all eternity. Believers will be resurrected. Christ shall put all enemies under his feet, that is to say, he shall conquer them all, which is another way of saying all wrongs will be made right forever. There will be no more sin. There will be no more injustice. There will be no more being wronged by others. There will be no more sorrow. All of that is gone forever. And the consequences of sin, death, is conquered forever. What an encouragement to have that to look forward to if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And of course, we therefore have this issue of submission to Christ's rightful authority, and that's really what it means to believe in Jesus. Christ is on the throne, with everything being placed under his authority by God the Father for him to bring it all into subjection. Now, you can submit to him now and be saved by so doing, or you can wait until you are forced to submit, but to your eternal condemnation. Which shall it be for you? I trust it will be believing submission now. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.